Part 2. The only thing more mortifying about kissing the girl you fancy and not being able to reciprocate properly is having to stand in front of a bloody crowd after said kiss and not look like you're about to fucking implode. It had taken everything to pull him away from her, and he meant everything. His heartbeat had clanged in his ears, the smell of her cinnamon shampoo encircling him like some predatory snare. Never mind the fact that she had kissed him just meters from his bed, where he'd spent the past 4 years thinking too explicit thoughts about her to ever put to paper. Then, after all that, he was expected to stand next to his bloody parents? James watches as his dad finishes a rousing speech about goodwill to all men and other Christmas adages before pulling his mom in for a sweeping kiss. Typical. But the crowd cheers in applause, and James joins them because, of all nights, this is the one he promises to be good. It's Christmas for Merlin's sake. He owes it to them. But he can't hold back the twitch in his jaw, and knows that, if left unattended, he will grind his teeth into little stubs from the anxiety of it all. His parents, their friends, the wandering classmates might as well be speaking in monotonous droning noises. All he can hear is the delicious mantra of, "Lily Evans kissed me. Lily Evans kissed me. Lily Evans kissed me." Prongs. His nickname breaks through the void. Turning slowly, he finds Peter standing next to him, offering some sort of ruby-red liquid with a defenseless, apologetic look.
"I'm so sorry, I didn't know."
James blinks at him, unable to comprehend. The chant is entering and exiting all orifices, and licking his lips, he swears he can still taste her on him. Somewhere from behind, one of his mom's co-workers grabs his bum, and he doesn't even care.
"Didn't know what?"
I mean...
Peter searches for words, knowing a trap when he sees one.
"You and Evans just seem to be pretty friendly, you know?"
Friendly. Suddenly, something cuts the mantra from his brain like taking scissors to a ticker tape. Friendly. A friend. Lily Evans was... is his friend. He knows so, because she said it many times. How much painstaking work had been done to get to the point of even being just amicable with her? Years worth. At least a solid 365 days, if not more. That's not to say he wasn't chuffed by the advancement. Pathetic git that he was, nights at Hogwarts had delved into anticipation of just sitting next to her, smelling her beautiful hair during their library sessions, and maybe, if he was lucky, getting an arm to brush against his as she leans over to write some bloody adorable comment in the margins of his parchment, only to be obsessed with her curly, cramped script for the next hour. It hadn't not crossed his mind that maybe things were starting to turn flirty. When he was lucky enough to get her to throw her head back in a laugh, she'd started to grab onto his forearm for support. Then, of course, there were the letters. Merlin, how many had he written? Perhaps more than he'd ever written to Peter or Mooney in his life. And this was just one holiday. Hours of doting on each word, striking the right balance between friendly, maybe a tad flirty, but not overbearing. And if his glasses were working correctly, hers came back just as amicable, perhaps even enthusiastic. But would some stray arm touches and jovial letters really equate to a kiss?
"Do you think we should throw a punch in his face?" "I think we should throw a punch in his face."
James blinks again to find Sirius standing in front of him, hands on his hips, while Peter sports a nervous look.
"You okay, mate? You kind of just were out of it for a second,"
Peter squeaks, eyes roaming and nervous.
"Yeah, fine. Brilliant,"
James responds automatically, not sure if he really means it or not.
"Well," Sirius butts in, "now that your mum's lot have got tired of your sorry ass, can we actually have some fun around here? Flea says I can be in charge of the music as long as I keep the bumping and grinding to a minimum." "Right, yeah, sure."
James's mind drifts again, all his thoughts slippery like black ice. Warm lips, so soft, tasting like gin and cinnamon.
"Oi!"
Sirius snaps his fingers right between his eyes.
"If you took Muggle drugs without me, I swear, Prongs, I'm going to be so upset."
Lily was in his room earlier,
Peter blurts out, then clasps his hands over his mouth as though to stop any other incriminating thing from exiting.
Groovy, Wormtail. Really subtle,
James mutters, and shifts his eyes just in time to watch Sirius's ears practically perk upwards in interest.
Oh,
Sirius says in a curt, knowing tone.
Oh, I see.
Nothing happened. She got lost on her way to the loo.
Sirius smirks.
Yeah, bet it's really hard to find the loo when you're too busy using your mouth to...
Sirius, fuck off and drop it. Really, nothing happened.
He hears the pain in his voice, and for some reason, it surprises him. They had kissed, hadn't they? But now even that fact was starting to get murky. Like all of the pieces leading up to it didn't make for a greater whole. Maybe it was a mistake. She'd just leaned in too far and his lips were just there to catch her. Or maybe she was just drunk? He could spiral around the thousands of reasons why she could have possibly not meant to kiss him, but the one thing that he knows for certain is that Lily is his friend. Full stop. And friends don't try to snog friends, do they? It didn't feel fair for a teenage boy to have to wade through such emotional traps, especially on Christmas. Sirius does drop it, though not before arching an eyebrow with a sly look, and the boys wander away from the older crowd towards the throngs of Hogwarts students who have all slowly commandeered the front of the bar area. He can't help himself but to look past anyone who isn't Lily, wondering if she took his words literally and was still leaning against the edge of his desk where he left her.
Hey, stranger.
A small hand grasps his forearm. Sophia beams up at him, silvery blonde hair charmed into perfect ringlets around her face like a china doll.
All right, Sophia?
She gives a small smile. Telling by her eyes, she's had a few drinks and is feeling good, the liquid confidence equating to her ever-grasping hand on him.
Just wondering if you were going to hide all night.
Wasn't hiding. Just doing my duty as a good son and host for one day out of the year.
He shoots her a grin, one that he uses to get out of trouble, and he feels her hand tighten against his bicep, fingertips pressing in, like trying to commit the feeling to memory.
Well, would you have time out of your busy schedule to be a good host to me?
There isn't much subtlety there. From behind her, Sirius makes a shrugging expression at him, tilting his head in a way that means, your mess. From the corner of his eye, he sees a flash of red hair re-enter the room. Lily steps out of the hall, looking a bit bleary-eyed and nervous. Beelining her way through the crowd, she completely ignores his gaze, calling for a double gin and tonic, and joining Mary and Marlene a few clusters away from him.
Merlin, she looks lovely. James?
James snaps his head back to see Sophia still standing there, a crease in her brow from his lack of response.
Sorry. Let me just do some rounds, then I'll come find you.
The fact that he had said almost the same thing to Lily puts a heavy weight in his stomach. But Sophia's smile brightens and she gives an enthusiastic nod, finally relinquishing her grip. Not knowing what direction to take, James stalks off back towards his room, the party starting to feel like a real drag. During the beginning of the holiday, Lily had sent him a letter that he must have read 1,000 times.
Dear James, I hope your holiday's going well too, though I can't say we've had much time to do anything, seeing as it's only the second day. To respond to your last inquiry, no, I will not write your potions essay for you, though if you send it along, maybe I can write some choice words in the comments to add flavor. Choice words meaning horrible insults that will no doubt earn you a T. I was watching a bit of telly yesterday. Box, glowing screen, moving pictures. You have heard of one, right? And I saw a program where this bloke made the exact same stupid voice you make when trying to imitate Professor Binns. I was so caught off guard, thinking that you had entered the room, I practically fell off the sofa, then proceeded to laugh at how incredibly thick I was to think you would just apparate into my home to do something as stupid as that. Anyways, I don't know why I'm telling you this. Perhaps a symptom of my absolute boredom. Maybe it's to say that if you feel like showing up at my house to work on your impressions before next term, I wouldn't be mad about it. Hope you're well. And sorry Sirius ate all the Christmas cookies. Lily.
It was dumb, really. She had even said in the letter that she'd written it completely out of boredom. But rereading it, even now, his breath catches in his stomach by the implication that she would want to see him, that she'd even been thinking about him in the first place. At the time, he probably wasted 100 rolls of parchment trying to come up with the perfect response that would encapsulate his absolute earnestness to actually visit, while not coming on too strong. In the end, he responded by changing the subject almost entirely, too afraid he was getting the wrong impression of her friendliness. He sits on his bed, clutching the letter. Downstairs, the music changes to a rock beat of Sirius's doing, and a whoop from the younger guests signals that dancing is probably picking up. He rereads the letter again, focusing on the way she curls the J in his name. When had she started calling him James? Did he really let such a monumental switch happen unnoticed? Sorry. His eyes snap away from the parchment, like some beautiful ghost. Lily wanders into the doorway, hands tugging at the sides of her dress.
Mary's curfew's coming up, and I offered to go back with her.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The feeling of sinking weighs heavy in his heart.
And Sophia is looking for you.
I told her I'd come find her later. Lily's face twists into something resembling pain, her eyes becoming glassy.
Yeah, well, she seems to think it's later.
Lily crosses the room and takes a hesitant seat next to him on the bed, letting the end of her dress fan out against her thighs. Well, that's all you're going to think about for the rest of your sodding life.
Is that my letter?
Too busy letting his teenage mind work in overdrive, he hadn't put down the parchment. She leans in, resting her chin lightly on his shoulder to read the text.
Oh, God, I'm completely mental. I can't believe you even kept this. I sound like an absolute nutter.
He turns to her, frowning. No, you don't. I think it's brilliant. I love that... Oh, for fuck's sake, why did I use that word? Lily recovers for him, pulling the parchment out of his loose grasp and giving it a closer inspection.
You really should have heard it, though. It sounded just like you. Like...
She makes this low, droning voice that doesn't even remotely sound like Professor Binns or his terrible impression of him. James can't help but laugh, a loud, booming one that she's been able to pull out of him more and more. Small droplets of tears start forming at the corners of his eyes.
Godric Evans, please don't go into acting. Here, let me do what you just did.
He replicates the same gravelly voice, giving it an extra dash of absurdism. It's her turn to laugh, head falling back and lips gleaming as her peals cut through the room. Before, he only speculated that it was his favorite noise. Now, he is sure of it.
I didn't sound like that, she squeals, giving his arm a tug. Do the real impression again so I can compare.
Nope, sorry. I've forgotten how to do it, actually. Your rendition has obliviated it.
Fuck off with that. Come on, do it.
She gives him another playful tug, and this time he lets his hand go loose under her grip, so their hands remain attached, falling limp into her lap.
Sorry, Evans. Maybe next year, he says quietly.
He can tell she is feeling the same vibration from their tangled hands that he is, both of their eyes zeroed in on the clasped fingers. Did friends hold hands when they laughed? Suddenly, it was incredibly hard to remember.
Look, James, she says, eyes averted out towards the room. I'm sorry about earlier. I'm not trying to blow this whole thing up. I know we're mates now and...
What?
In under a millisecond, the past 3 hours of his life have been reduced to pure idiocy. He hadn't imagined it. They had kissed, and it had been intentional.
Please. Wait. Just stop.
She recoils, and he can feel her hand starting to tug away from his, but he adds more pressure, resituating his fingers so they thread with hers.
Lily,
he stammers. Her eyes lower to speculative slits.
It's now or never, Potter. Grab the snitch or get off the pitch. You didn't ask what I want for Christmas.
Her eyes crinkle, mouth turning downwards.
What?
She sputters, incredulous.
What are you talking about, Potter?
You know, he pries. From before. I asked you what you wanted, but you didn't ask me. So go on.
Ask. Lily looks at him. Ever since their kiss, he had felt like a storm cloud was raining on the Christmas cheer. But sitting here with her has returned him to form, eyes glinting wild and expectant.
Okay, fine, she huffs. What do you want for Christmas, Potter?
He crashes his lips down on hers before she can even finish the question, not holding anything back. Unlike earlier, when he'd been too shocked and guarded to reciprocate, he goes in full force, lips frantic and hungry. Everything starts to feel charged, the softness of her lips and the sweet smell of cinnamon revitalizing and urging him forward. When they pull away, their lips are swollen and breath shallow, their fingers unraveled against his cheek, the small of her back. His hand contracts against the warm skin, keeping her in place as if with the slightest movement she'll vanish into the night.
I had wanted you to kiss me then, and I want you to kiss me again now.
A smile breaks onto her face so wide it tugs perilously close to either ear.
We're idiots. Absolute sodding.
But his lips are back on hers, mouth already open and breathing deep into her. She coils her fingers through his hair, letting the hard lines of their bodies press flush together as he crowds in further, pulling her so close that he doesn't think he'll feel anything as cozy as her body heat against him ever again.
Call me what you want, Evans. I deserve it, he pants into her. But then, I'm going to need you to make my Christmas wish come true a few more times, because, Merlin, I'll do anything for it.
She laughs again, but this time he catches it with his mouth, letting the sound develop into a satisfied moan. She tangles back into him, and somehow he needs her closer, needs her more. He doesn't know how he has even survived off of so little for so long.
What about Mary? She gasps,
pulling back just enough to speak.
She's got curfew. I told her.
But even as she says it, her arms pull his neck tighter, her soft lips dragging their way across his jaw to his ear. He silences her with a kiss to the neck, and a bubbling sigh escapes, now for certain the most beautiful sound to ever exist.
Tell her to live a little. It's too cold to leave now, he murmurs, not wishing to waste any more time. We're busy with a bloody Christmas miracle.